Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Sarah Stanich joins us this morning, and she's about a week out from her appearance here in town to talk about her new book called Laurentian Divide. Sarah, good morning. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Lisa. I, too, remember Wild Kingdom and Marlon Perkins, and wasn't he always sending Jim out to, like,
yes,
tease the alligator?
Well,
or something?
Jim was always doing something, yes, while Marlon watched from the safety of the helicopter. Exactly. Exactly. So I do that once in a while. Once in a while, I assign other people to watch from the safety of the helicopter while I make the news. So,
exactly.
Oh gosh, Sarah, I wonder about this because you live in the cities. That's okay. Somebody's got to, but you write your books about up north. Now I know that you lived up north here for quite a while, but you still write your books about up north. So
I guess I'm stuck. You know, I can't leave that place alone. And yeah, I did live there, and my folks were from there, and it keeps inspiring me. You know, it's a very unusual place. There aren't many like it in the country, and I keep being drawn back to it.
So, does that mean that the cities doesn't? I mean, this is not cities bashing, but the cities doesn't inspire you in the same way? I mean, there's all these, you know, when people talk about the cities, there's all these things to do and all the people and all the energy and all the woo.
Yeah, I stay in my room and write.
So up north is a place where the introverts go to get out and recharge.
Maybe. I'm not sure, but yes, up north is pretty much in my blood. I need a transfusion.
Well, it an iron transfusion, but
yeah.
So
Iron Range.
Yeah, I like it. An Iron Range transfusion. So tell us a little bit about Laurentian and how is it different from some of the other books that you've written set up north? And I know that a couple of your books were autobiographical in nature. They were like a memoir. Tell us a little bit about this one.
This one is not autobiographical. It's the second in a trilogy, and the first one was Vacation Land. And now what I'm doing with this one is taking a number of those characters that didn't get fully fleshed out, and I'm giving them a little more airtime, if you will. I wasn't completely done with all of those characters, or maybe I wasn't ready to let them off the hook. But it's the story of what happens in the same small town when the local hermit goes missing. He doesn't come in after ice out. And people are going about their daily lives. They're trying to plan a wedding. They're still grieving the loss of two young women. An alcoholic is, you know, battling with his recovery. And a retired miner is still mourning. So it's what happens to a small town when there's this upheaval of this person who goes missing that they don't really know that much about. So it's also about speculation and the things that people assume, and that sort of life in a small town. People kind of make up their own minds about certain things.
So here's this poor hermit who just wants to be left alone to sit in his room and write, perhaps.
Not right. He lives on an island. He doesn't have time to write. He's busy living.
So he's busy living his introverted life. Mm-hmm. And it's the story of a bunch of busybodies who won't leave him alone. Or not.
No, not busybodies. People just going about their own business.
Exactly.
And this disappearance has thrown a bit of a wrench in their daily lives.
So tell me a little bit about the idea that you didn't want to let the characters off the hook, or that you weren't done with the characters yet. The relationship between writers of fiction and their characters is, I think, unendlessly fascinating.
It is.
Did you have to go back and reread Vacation Land, or look at your notes again to kind of get up to speed on the details?
I did a little bit. You know, as far as the characters that we live with as writers, they become, we begin really close to them. And you spent 2 years with a cast of characters, it's kind of hard to let them go. And there were two in the first book that I felt needed a little bit more, and then I got into their characters. One is a Finnish retired miner named Alpo, and his son, Pete, and as well one of the waitresses from the Pavola's Diner that was kind of this hot spot in Vacation Land. So it's there are three lives.
So how do you know, maybe this comes with being a writer who has come to trust herself, an experienced writer, a published writer who has come to trust herself. How do you know when you embark on, I need to do more with these characters, that this won't turn out to have been a mistake, that somebody won't go, oh, for him, you know, no, you're trying to stretch this out. It doesn't, no, this is bad. Because we've all kind of had that experience, you know, we have a success and we want to repeat it and we want to do a little bit more. And then somebody goes, nah, this isn't working. So how do you trust yourself that I can take these characters and I can move the story ahead and it's still going to be good?
Well, they will take you so far, and then it's up to you, the writer, to sort of rein them in. So, yeah, I mean, you have to be careful. These characters were pretty dear to me, and I think they would tell me if I'd gone too far or if I had beaten them, their dead horses, for too long.
Right. As you work, and again, this is I just think this is fascinating. As you work, as you begin to unravel their stories, as this book was coming together, was there a part of your brain thinking down the road, leaping ahead to the third book in the trilogy?
You know, not really until about the middle of the book when I knew what the third would be about. And I'm beginning the research on that now. And that will change, too. But, you know, there are some of the same characters, and it will be some of the same setting. It'll still be in northern Minnesota, although I think this time I'm going to go a little farther afield, and I'm going to take one of my characters back to the old country, as they say.
Which old country? Could be Finland, Italy, Sweden, Norway, Denmark.
In this case, Finland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I myself have never been. So it kind of begs that I go there, I think.
It kind of does.
Yeah, so it's a good excuse to have to go and do my research.
You know, there are about, like, 50 hands up in our listening audience right now going, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me.
Yeah, take me.
You know, I want to go. Yeah. I'll tell you everything you need to know. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Sarah, you're going to be in town in a week, and you will be at Zenith Bookstore. Folks will have the opportunity to hear you read a little bit from your book. And thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Lisa. And hopefully we'll see you next, I guess it's Thursday.
Next Thursday. Wow, I'd have to be out after, like, dark, but I could maybe do that.
Do it.
Sarah,
do it.
Sarah, thanks so much. Sarah Stonage joined us this morning as our guest on Minnesota Reads. Her new book is called Laurentian Divide. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.